Before we get started with the message, I'll just share a little testimony with you. First of all, welcome to the brand new couple, Brandon and Cassandra Greenlee. We now, I have a text group in my phone because we're all iPhone. Let's worship at, what's the name? Apple Jobs, whatever. Anyway, I have the group is called the G10, so it's 10 Greenlees now. So it's complete, the G10. And another testimony, not part of the message. A small outcome, but to me it's a blessing. This past Thursday, we're gathered together, the men and the women, and studying Ephesians. And one of the topics, a comment that came up was talking about like wearing a T-shirt with a Christian statement on it and going out in public, you know. And I gave testimony to the fact that my son Kevin has several of these shirts that say Jesus loves you, and I like that. So I bought a couple and I wear them. But there are times when I say I'm not putting it on because I know that I'm getting ready to go somewhere, or I might have to have a confrontation, you know, making a return or something. And so I'm not going to wear this Jesus loves you when I'm going, you told me, you know. And so, but that is very telling on the inside of me. I'm like, wait a minute, if you're not willing to wear the shirt, something ain't right with that. And so anyway, we're talking about that here. And Pete was sharing along those same lines. But then the next morning, Friday morning, I decided it's dress down day at work. And so I wore my T-shirt with Jesus Loves You. Now, wearing it at work, I mean, work is a good place for confrontation. But I'm like, I'm wearing it. I am wearing it. And the reason I make that statement is on my way to work, I'm glad this isn't being recorded, so safety doesn't hear this. But while I'm driving to work, I took a selfie of me with the T-shirt on, and I sent the picture to Pete, and I said, I decided to wear this morning. Now, again, it's just a small thing, but it's as a result of coming together on Thursday nights, fellowshipping together, having conversations together, there's now more of a connection between Pete and me, just based on discussion on where we've been. But other than Thursday nights, I would have never thought to, I probably wouldn't have been challenged to wear the shirt, but, but I wouldn't have had that connection that, hey, I just want to share with my brother that, hey, I'm wearing this today. And probably, he probably prayed for me, like, Lord help that boy, because it could be a problem. But that is exactly some of the benefit that I want to see from this Thursday thing. And I was particularly excited that Wayne, and like two seats away from him was Gavin. And there's a large gap, not in the seats, but in the number of years. But there's the potential for this connection. And encouragement in the faith, but even just men among men, all ages. So it's just a wonderful thing. So seems to me there was something else on my mind, but anyway, it might come back. Right. Not this Thursday, but the following. We'll do it again. And all right, so let's switch gears into the message, and we'll begin with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you indeed with thanksgiving and praise. You are the great and awesome God. And I seem to say it every time, but we are so thankful that you've opened our eyes to see you. We're so thankful that you made the way of salvation. We're so thankful that you have accomplished it, and that you are so patient and so wise, and you are love. And we're just so thankful. Now, Father, we come together and we look at your word. And Father, I pray that it not just be words and it not just be time spent, but we ask that you do according to your heart's good pleasure, that you would feed your sheep, that you would inspire again your words. You inspired it in the men who wrote it, but we're asking for your breath of life in your word. And open our eyes, minister to us for your glory. and for the advancement of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but occasionally I'll hear people say things that, boy, that really doesn't make any sense at all. One of the ones I like to pick on is when people misuse the word literally. They'll say, I laughed my head off, literally. No, not literally. I mean, you're not using it right now, but you didn't laugh your head off literally. The other one I like is irregardless. Regardless of that, and irregardless of that is really the same thing, but irregardless, you know, it's like that really doesn't work. Just a couple more. What can be unburdened by what has been? I had to read that because it made no sense at all. But you might see this lady in the media who says that quite often. What has been unburdened by what has been? Or what can be? See, I can't even mess it up. I'm so conservative, I just can't even mess up that statement. Anyway, here's another pile of baloney. Stephen Hawking, he mentioned this concept in his book, A Brief History of Time. And the concept is there's no reason we cannot remember the future. Well, I can think of some reasons, but I guess I'm not as smart as he is. I mean, I don't know about you, but there is just no way that I can remember what happens tomorrow morning. Now, I mean, you know, maybe I need what can be to be unburdened by what has been thought. But when you hear stuff like that, sometimes it just kind of goes by, la, la, la. You're not really, you're like, wait a minute, whoa, time out. You know, so we hear a lot of things. But what about in Scripture? What about when we read things in Scripture that are like, wait a minute, that doesn't even work? So when you read that, knowing the source, that's when we have to press in. So Revelation 3:18, just the first line, Jesus is speaking to the church at Laodicea, and he says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Well, I find that statement a little intriguing. Buy gold. Now, that makes sense. I mean, if you listen, you know, William Devane will tell you, buy gold from Roslyn Capital. Donald Trump Jr., he'll tell you, text the word gold to 989898, and you can buy from Birch Gold. But what doesn't make sense to me is if I take my money and I go buy the gold, what I don't have anymore is money. I'm used to that. But I mean, now I have gold. And so like in the long term, perhaps it's going to make me money, you know, because, you know, over time it becomes a good investment. But the phrase doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So let's press in. Why is Jesus telling us to buy gold from him? And so when you, if you decide to press in to Scripture, one of the first things you got to do is ask the question, what's the context? Where is he coming from when he says this? And you all know this is in the section of Revelation where it's the letters to the seven churches. And this is the church Laodicea. And what was their problem? What was the big problem at Laodicea? That's exactly right, lukewarm. He wanted them to be either hot or cold. So it's only a few verses. Let's take a look. Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Jesus is speaking. He says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, in summary, we've already hit it, but Jesus is displeased with his bride, the church. This particular church, Laodicea, he is calling out the fact that they're a little bit on fire and they're a little bit cold, so they just end up being in the middle, lukewarm. Has that description ever applied to you and me? I'm a little bit excited. I'm a little bit excited about being a Christian. I'm a little bit excited. I'm also a little bit indifferent. I mean, there are times when I think about my salvation. I think about my relationship with God. I think about the fact that, to be honest, for me, when I think about the fact that I am not spending eternity in hell, I am not lukewarm. I am very excited about the fact that I will never, ever be there. And there are people who will be there forever, ever, 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 ever. They're going to be there. I'm not. I am excited about that. I'm sorry. I can't fake lukewarm on that. But there are times when we are indifferent about being a believer. There are times when we're just not so excited about it. I mean, I'm saved, you know, but I'm not, you know, all that excited. I think it's kind of like holding the winning Mega Millions lotto ticket, but never actually cashing it. I mean, can you imagine? Now, we know it's the wrong thing to have all those millions of dollars, and your life would just be destroyed. But let's just say that you've got the ticket, and you tell your coworkers, right here, the winning numbers, same date, yeah. And they're all excited, you're all excited, and you're just walking around with a ticket. You got to cash in. The value of that thing is that you cash it in, and you do something, and you give away all the money. I'll give you my account number later if you have that number. But in the text, starting at verse 17, Jesus was saying, because you say I'm rich and I've become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and you don't know that you're actually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, then he says, here's how you fix that. Okay, you think you're rich, you are actually totally lost. You are actually totally bankrupt. You think you got the world by the tail, and actually what you have is the tail. So he says, verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you become rich. So whatever the rich thing is that you think you have that's leaving you in this lukewarm position, what you need is a different kind of rich. What you need is a different kind of gold. It's gold that's refined by fire. You also need white garments to clothe yourselves so that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. So the point that I want to talk about this morning is making transactions. So I want to connect this buying gold, but not just any kind of gold, and most likely not earthly gold. I really don't think he's counseling us to buy gold. Many people would tell you that, but he's obviously not telling you to buy paving material, heaven's paving material, the streets, you know, lined with gold. But what he's talking about is transaction. He's talking about works. He's talking about building. And I want to connect that to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read you verses 10 through 15. The Apostle Paul talking here, he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man has got to be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right, now that is just, that is literally, it's a foundational truth about him, Jesus, being the foundation. He's the foundation, he's the cornerstone, he is the superstructure, he's everything. It's all about him. You know, we have that quite clearly. but, verse 12, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. The point I'm making is there's a connection here between you building on the foundation of Christ, you doing a work, you're building, you're doing something with your Christian relationship, with you, with your walk with the Lord. You're building this thing that gets tested by fire, and if it stands, it's real. There's a reward. It actually, that's the way it's supposed to work. But if it was wood, hay, stubble, or stay wood, hubble, from years ago, if it's anything that gets burned up, then there's no reward for that. The reward is for that gold refined by fire. Now we're back over into Revelation. Buy from me gold refined by fire. So Paul labored as a master builder. He built on the foundation of Christ. But how is it that we buy gold from Jesus? How do you make this transaction? Well, Isaiah gives us a tip. So Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Now that is a very intriguing statement. That's another one that's, wait a minute, that doesn't work. I understand, okay, you perhaps you can buy something without money, right? You would make a trade. It would be barter. It would be look, you know, I got nothing, but I tell you what I'll do for you. I'll work for you. I will, I'll go out and wear a signboard that says, you know, the repent, the end is near, or something like that. I'll do some work for you, and then you give me, because I have no money. But he says, buy without money, and buy without cost. Well, now, see that, if I were to receive from someone else, and I didn't give them money, and it didn't cost me anything, well then, I didn't buy. I received a gift. Now, salvation indeed is a gift from God. It's God's grace. It is a free gift. But why does he say buy? There is a transaction that takes place. It's a purchase. It's a buy. It's a transaction. But it didn't cost me anything. I didn't have any money to give him, and it didn't cost me anything. He says buy without money and without cost. I think it's because a transaction has taken place. Something happened, and the transaction didn't cost me anything. What I mean is, it's similar to the quote, was it Eliot, who said, "He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim Elliot, there we go. See, I think that in my walk with the Lord, when I go through situations, like we heard about this morning, where I go through these hard things, and, or let me pick on bitterness and unforgiveness. If I'm going through something and the Lord grants revelation And I see that I have been forgiven from so much. And then I say, you know what? I can't be bitter against my brother. I mean, it's like the parable of the unforgiving debtor, where I owed God trillions. I owed God eternity in hell. And he said, nope, paid. No, that's too much. And if I owed him that much, and my coworker over here has really ticked me off because he was not very respectful when he called me out in that meeting, and I am so angry. Whoa, now wait a minute. I can't. I can't be bitter against him. Look what I did to God. Look where I stood before God. So now, because of this revelation, because of this understanding, a transaction takes place where I say, you know what? Unforgiveness, bitterness, I got to let go of it. Now, I just gave up something, and it didn't cost me anything. But what he gave me, peace, life, relationship, testimony, and you know what? I own it. The common phrase these days, own it. You need to own it. Well, in that transaction, there was a transaction that took place. I gave up bitterness. I gave up unforgiveness. I gave up this negative. I gave up these things, and it didn't cost me to let go of that. And what I received was all these wonderful things in Christ. That's a transaction that took place where I think, in this context here, I was able to buy from God without money and without cost, because it didn't cost me. It blessed me. And I don't have the thing. See, the buying is, I take this thing and I give it to you because I'm buying, and you give me the thing, and then I go, wow, man, I got a great deal on that. Or not. But anyway, that's buying. I give you something, I get something. And in this, I no longer have the bitterness. I now have this peace. And you can, there are so many transactions that we could talk about. You know, our brother Ed Miller talks about how for years he struggled with legalism, and it was just killing him. Man, I got to do this in order to make God happy, I got to give up this, and I got to surrender that, and I got to all these things that I got to do. And then when the Lord turned on the light on the inside of him, that's not how this works. Well, then there was this transaction where he let that legalism go. It didn't cost him a thing to let go of that. But what has he had in return? It's been pure gold. It's been relationship. It's been the life of the Lord Jesus flowing through him without the stress and the strain and the hassle of striving and trying and all this mess. It was a transaction that cost him nothing, and now he owns it. But in contrast, if you decide, nah, I'm going to hold on to it. Every time I see that person, I'm going to remember. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to start to stew about it. And I'm going to keep on dealing with that. Or, you know, whatever the particular thing is, that's just the example I like to use, the bitterness and forgiveness. Forgive me. But it's the example I like. But if you choose to keep those things, verse 19 of Revelation 3, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Which means if you're going to stay there, Jesus is going to have you're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, quite literally. Did I use that correctly? I can tell you that he's not going to let you sit in that. Part of the way he'll bring you to him is to let you sit in that, because you're going to get fed up with sitting in that situation and in staying there and in being there. And the hope is that at some point you'll go, what am I doing? He has done everything, and he is the answer to this. And then you come to him and you repent. And now, you know what? I'll bet that you'll be zealous. Have you heard our brother talk about I mean, he just beats the wadden out of legalism because he hates it, because he was there for so long and he was so burned out and now he is so free. He's very zealous about that topic. Well, the same is true when you make this transaction where you buy gold and you own it and you give up these things. Now you're zealous. And you know what zealous is? Zealous is not lukewarm. He would that you would be hot or cold. And I think between the two, my guess, he would prefer hot over cold. But what he really hates is lukewarm. And lukewarm is very easy. It is very easy to settle into lukewarm. It's very easy to settle into Sunday morning. We come here, we do what we do because that's what we do. And, you know, we do it. And you know, we're almost done doing it. And then we can go on down and beat the Baptist to the diner and, you know, whatever. It's easy to just settle into being lukewarm. So how does one get around that? I think on the one hand, he is zealous and he's going to reprove and to discipline. But I think the key is in verse 20. It's the relationship. Verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And interestingly, you know, you've probably seen that picture. It's painted of Jesus standing at the door on the outside, knocking to come in. And there's no knob, no handle on the outside. You know, you've got to let him in. And people have made a lot out of Jesus is standing on the outside of the church, knocking to come in. The point that I want to make is, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I'll dine with him and he with me." And that is fellowship. That is communion. That is, let's sit down and let's have a meal. My family knows, you all know this stuff. One of the greatest blessings for me is we pulled the table out of the dining room, set it up in the sunroom because it's bigger, and the whole family is gathered around the table, and hopefully there's good food on the table, but that's not really what I'm there for. I just want to hear the hubbub. I just want to hear all the back and forth. A story about this and a story about that, and somebody's waiting their turn to finally get in and say something. And then they're like, you know, well, hey, 10 minutes ago we were talking about this, and let me bring this up. And there's just something about this fellowship at the table. The way that one gets over being lukewarm is in relationship with Jesus. Genuine relationship. Not just saying, hey, I'm saved, but how do you connect with Jesus? And these are just very parochial, they're schoolboy answers. It's in the Word. You know, it's not like a real popular choice. Just being frank, a lot of people, myself included, I would really, really, really prefer Jesus standing right here and me saying, let's talk about this. When I said this and you're saying that, what? And I want to see the look on his face. I want to see his eyebrows furrow. Or I want to see, I say something funny and he goes, I gave you that sense of humor. And you know, I want to see, hear, feel. But I get a book. And personally, I'm just telling the truth. I don't want the book. I want the person. I want to, you know, connect. But he has set it up that we start with the book. And he speaks through the book. It's how he works. Now, it's not the only way. You know, he meets us where we are. There are times when he'll be visible in a person because he's ministering through human. That's how he does that. That's what he did in AD 30 or AD 0 through AD 33. He was here in a body. He ministers through people. But quite simply, you and I, the most authoritative place, it's not up for debate. It's not up, it is up for question. But you read the Word of God, and that is the Word of God. And you wait for His Holy Spirit to speak to you. testimony from a brother just recently that has a great impact for me. He was sharing how he was struggling with, I want to move on in the faith. I want to tell everybody I'm all in on Jesus. But I'm really struggling because I can be a real mess. And I'm afraid that if I tell everybody I'm all in on Jesus, and then I go out there and I act stupid, I'm going to be defaming his name, and I don't want to do that. He was struggling with this, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he knew he was going to be awake, couldn't go to sleep. And he said, but you know what I did? Instead of turning to watching TikTok videos of kittens and puppies and whatever, I opened the scripture, and he started reading. Started reading in 1 John, I think, if I remember right. And he prayed before he read. How clever. He prayed and he said, God, speak to me. And God met him in that word. Part of me wants to pull up that feed on Facebook and go, look at that. Look at that. Do that. Okay? When it gets really tough and you can't sleep and you're like, ah, man, I really need something. You know, there's a whole lot of somethings out there that can, that people use. Give me another chocolate cake. Give me another Netflix. Give me, some people go out and exercise. It's crazy. But this person did the right thing. He prayed and he said, God, I need to see you in the Word. And God showed up. Now, relationship begins. And as you read through the brother's post on Facebook, it's a blessing to me. The Lord met him. The Lord challenged him. And he's moving on in the faith. And so, how are we going to make this connection? How are we going to get out of being lukewarm? How are we going to buy gold? How are we going to build on the foundation of Christ, make these transactions? It's in relationship. How do we further in that relationship? We've got to be in the Word. And your safety and your security in being in the Word, you know, people can misconstrue so many things. I mean, like you send the most basic text message to somebody and... somebody said texting is the best way to be misunderstood or something to that effect. But it's like, no, this was point blank. You know, it was that clear. How can you misunderstand that? But it happens. And so if that happens in our communication, what about when people read the Word of God and they've got their preconceived ideas of what religion is and all this kind of stuff? They can get very misguided, except when... genuinely from our inner man, there is a cry to God that says, I need to see you. For real, I need to know you. Will you speak to me? Will you teach me? When that's for real in the heart and not just some religious game in the head, because there's a whole lot of that. When we reach out like that, that's when the Holy Spirit says, look at that verse right there. Look at that point right there. And then all of a sudden, these explosions are going off on the inside, and we're leaking. And so how do we grow in this relationship? We're in the Word and through prayer. Prayer, you know, you can read prayers that were written thousands of years ago, but it really, prayer is kind of like, it really is everything that you are, feel, that you am, that you is, that is just in connection with God. You can't fake a prayer. I mean, you can make a beautiful sounding prayer in the prayer meeting, and you can say the right things, Lord, teach us, Lord, show us. But you know, if in your inner man you're like, yeah, but I don't really want it. Well, that's your prayer, because that's what you really are. That's what's really in you. And so, but you need to be in connection with God, and you need to pray. This is part of connecting with Jesus. And the other part that is a whole lot easier, can be a lot more fun, the other way to make the connection is fellowship with the saints. You got to be around other believers. Now, you know, this brother can walk with the Lord and be very faithful, but not everything that he says is exactly what you need to hear at the moment. Same thing, you know, this sister, she can be just very faithful, very Christ-centered, but not 100%, you know, is gospel. The word is gospel. The word is God's word. It's true. But the fellowship with the believers, very helpful in your connection with Jesus. I want to come back to the Isaiah passage where we talked about come buy without money, without cost, and we'll read a few verses there. Excuse me. All right, so Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. I like that line. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Skip down to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they don't return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, pause there, that's the Lord Jesus, verse 11, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You'll go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign, which will not be cut off. So there's this relationship. There's this come buy from me without money, without cost. There is coming to the Lord and him rewarding that with his presence, being led forth with peace. And as we get close to wrapping it up, don't zip up your Bibles yet. Oh, wait a minute, that's like a 1980s thing, isn't it? You don't zip up your devices. anyway, Thursday nights, we're mentioning that. The men and sisters, we're studying Ephesians. The men are considering comments from Watchman Nee in his book, Sit, Walk, Stand. And it is a very nice device in sort of grouping thoughts in Ephesians, the idea of sit, walk, and stand. And so once a believer understands that they are seated in heavenly places in Christ, then it affects how they walk. And when we walk in the Lord, in the light of his word, anyway, when we walk with the Lord and we're in confrontation with the enemy, we're able to stand there. And as we stand, the victory is won in Christ. So that's a very nice little package for Ephesians. But the thing here is, and this is what the brother was posting in his Facebook feed, we want to affect the walk. We want our walk to not defame the name of Christ. We want our walk to prove the gospel is true. We want our walk to bring peace to our family, to bring peace to our coworkers. Not necessarily peace with them, because if they're going to remain on the enemy's side, it's not going to be peace. But we want the manifestation of the life of Christ to come through us to the world around us. That's the walk that we want, and that seems to be the goal. And that is the goal of all of religion, is to affect your walk. But the difference is between religion, and you've heard me say this a million times, here's one more. The difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus, religion is all about you improving you. If you can stop swearing for an hour, let's go for 2 hours. Let's make it three. Just don't go to Walmart, though, because you won't get to four. No, or drive down the road, whatever. But that's the whole premise of religion, is you improve you. Get the walk better. Well, Christianity, we want the walk better. If the walk isn't better, what is wrong? If we look, act, talk like the world, something ain't right. The walk ain't right. Fix the walk. Well, as we see in Ephesians, the way that you affect the walk is based on the fact that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. It's relationship, it's revelation, it's the reality of the word. When we understand where we are, it's not just mental assent. It has to be more than I read the text, I answered the question on the test, I got 100 on the test, therefore I understand I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ, and therefore I walk as a perfect Christian. It doesn't work like that. It's similar to when the preachers talk about faith without works is dead, and we get the idea that, if I say that I believe this, I better go do something that proves what I believe. Because if I'm not doing this, then it proves that I don't believe that, so I better go get this done so that people know I believe that. It's not how that works. That's religion. It's not even works. It is naturally self-evident. If I believed that the ceiling was going to fall through right here, if I genuinely believe that, I would move. You wouldn't have to tell me to move. I wouldn't have to think about it. I wouldn't have to debate about it. There would be no struggle that, I don't know if I can move or not. I need God's help to move. No, I believe that I'm about to be crushed to death. I'm moving, right? Well, when you have a revelation of the Lord, when he brings the reality into your inner man, you automatically, it begins to work it out. That transaction begins to take place. It's automatic. Because the reality is here, so it's an automatic outworking. And so this revelation that, wait a minute, there's only one man that ever defeated sin. There's only one man that ever, for his whole life, was tempted, it says in Hebrews, in every single way that you and I have ever been tempted, every single possible way, he was tried on all points, like as we, yet without sin. He did it. He did it. There's only one man. And he was crucified for every sin ever committed. And God raised him up and seated him at his right hand in heaven. Now that's real and that's true. And then the word tells us you're in him and you're seated in heavenly places. You're just as exalted. You're not God. Back that up a pinch. But you're just as much exalted. It's a finished work. The Savior who overcame sin is in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Your ability to overcome sin isn't based on you trying and struggling and applying and sacrificing and all this kind of stuff. It's just in letting go of you and letting him live. It's already all done. Once that becomes a reality on the inside of you, it affects how you walk And we've just arrived. We have just now arrived at, I can do the Christian life. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ in me. It's Galatians 2:20. It looks like I'm acting like a Christian because I'm letting the Lord do it. I could go on for a lot longer, but you get the point. It is the way that we affect the walk, the way that we are no longer lukewarm, is we have to have revelation from the Lord Jesus. It's in relationship. We come to his word. We're in prayer, fellowship with the saints. But in directing our hearts toward him, in looking for him in the word, then we have to make these transactions where we apply this reality that is brought to us. And lastly, it's very much like last week Joe Feinauer was talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. I won't take the time to re-unpack everything that he said, but for the 5 foolish virgins who missed out on the appearing of the Lord Jesus, they were told, well, you need to go buy oil, because the 5 wise virgins couldn't give them their own oil. They couldn't give them any oil because it's this personal transaction. I can't give you my life experience with Jesus. I can tell you about it, and you can hear it, and you can appreciate it, and you can go, wow, that's a real blessing. I'll remember that for later. But it's my experience. I can't give it to you. And the 5 wise virgins couldn't give the oil. They couldn't give their transactions. They couldn't give building on the foundation of Christ. They couldn't give the gold, silver, precious stones, because it's their thing with God. They couldn't give that. But you and I need to make that transaction. This is where we come up with that oil so that we're not caught without, so that we don't miss his appearing. Well, there's more, but we'll stop here. My encouragement is much like my father-in-law's signature in a lot of his writing. He says, rest, abide, enjoy. Rest in Christ. Man, it really is already all over. We really have already won. He won it all. Sit there. Rest in that. And continue in your connection with the Lord Jesus. Abide. Rest. Abide. You'll enjoy that. I've added the word walk. So now that you're resting and you're abiding in Christ, now you just begin to walk at that. And where you're going and what you're doing, it's him doing. It's him coming out through that. And all of a sudden, the walk is different. And people are going, wow. He really looks and sounds like Jesus. He doesn't sound like that jerk he's been most of his life. So, rest, abide, walk. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your fantastic plan, how you can enable completely corrupt man by your grace and by yourself within to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, and that you can build a kingdom and glorify yourself for all of eternity. Help us, draw us. I ask for a special blessing, Heavenly Father. I'm asking in the name of the Lord Jesus for these saints listening here now, specifically this week, when we go to your word, remind us to pray, and would you meet us in your word? I'm asking you to open our hearts and minds, open our minds for understanding. Give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding that we can see you and know you in the word. Meet us in reality. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.